scripture reading this morning will come from Romans chapter 15. We'll give us the 22nd verse. We'll read to the end of the chapter, which is verse 33. That's found on page 950 if you're using the Pew Bibles. 15th chapter of the book of Romans, beginning with the 22nd verse. Hear now God's word. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it. And indeed, they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Let us go to the Lord now in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word that you have given to us. We confess that this is your inerrant and infallible word. Use it to teach us and correct us, to rebuke us, to train us in righteousness, O Lord, to show us your Son, the Lord Jesus. We ask that you be with the proclamation of your word this morning as well, and that it would glorify your name. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here at the end of chapter 15, Paul's come sort of to the end of his formal teaching in the book of Romans. He even ends it with a benediction. Then he attaches some personal greetings, and he can't stop himself from saying a little bit more. But he's brought his main letter to a close with ultimately a reminder about God being in charge. He's given us a picture of his desires and his plan, but also his willingness to submit to God's plan and God's will. And in this way, he lays a pattern for us. He's just been talking about the unity of the Jews and Gentiles, and he wraps it up here as he talks about his plans to come to Rome. And he says that there is a unity among all people, among all believers, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of being a Greek or a Jew or a Gentile, regardless of geography, that the people in Rome are unified with the people in Macedonia and Achaia and Jerusalem. And the collection that he tells us about in verse 26 is proof of that unity. But he says, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. The churches in Macedonia and Achaia are in good shape. There's been a famine that's hit Jerusalem, and it's affected a great many people. The persecution by the Jews is much greater in Jerusalem than the churches are experiencing in Macedonia and Achaia. And so there are a great many poor who've been dispossessed, who've been hurt, who've lost things. And realizing their unity, that they say they're saved by the same Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that they have the same God and Father who is above all and in all and through all, the churches in Macedonia and Achaia are sending money to help. It doesn't matter that those churches are predominantly Gentile in origin. They understand that they're still unified as the body of Christ with the church in Jerusalem, which is predominantly Jewish in origin. Their ethnicity doesn't matter. The geography doesn't matter. All that matters is the shared faith in Christ the connection through the Holy Spirit. And this taking up of the collection shows their unity with one another. We also see the unity in verse 30 in their prayers, where he says, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Paul here is asking the believers in Rome, he's asking for the church in Rome to join him in his prayer, to ask for what he's been asking for. And that way there's a unity, and a union as we pray for the same goal. We have a unity of faith and a unity of purpose when we pray the Lord's Prayer, and our brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world also pray for thy kingdom come and thy will be done and hallowed be thy name. We're unified with them and our hearts' desires that Christ would bring his kingdom to pass. We're joining together with their voices as we go before the throne of grace, as Paul is asking the people of Rome to do. Regardless of whether they're Jews or Gentiles, he's asking that they would pray that his ministry in Judea would be acceptable and that he would be delivered. And so in this prayer we can see the unity, not only the unity of request, but a unity of the Holy Spirit who aids and helps our prayers. Paul's already explained that to us in Romans chapter 8. A unity in the God that we come before. He's the same God and Father who is over all. Not to mention a unity in the name in which we come, the name of Jesus Christ, for whose glory they're ultimately praying. There's a great deal of unity in that prayer. And Paul also lets us see the theological reason why we have such unity in verse 27, where he says they're pleased to do it. And indeed they owe it to them. For the Gentiles have come to share in the spiritual blessings. They ought to be a service to them in material blessings. We have a unity in sharing the same blessings, the same promises. Yes, for a time, the gospel of Jesus Christ was unknown by much of the world and was focused primarily in Israel, where the prophets came and they spoke and the scriptures were given. But now the gospel has come and opened up the world to those blessings. And we all share in those same blessings. We're all children of Abraham because we share in Abraham's faith, which is what Paul explained in chapter 9. We share in that blessing of the seed that has come in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul goes out of his way to make sure we understand that we're all sharing those same blessings. Those in Macedonia and Achaia are sharing the same blessings as those in Jerusalem. Just think for a moment how such a truth would reshape the way you saw everything if you were a first century Jew and you had been raised up to learn that the Gentiles were bad, that they were Gentile dogs, and that you avoided them, that you didn't go into the houses that had Gentiles. You could meet with them outside but not inside. That if you worked with them, you were to be shunned. But now you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and you understand the truth that you share the same blessings of Christ with any who repent and believe, regardless of who they are. Now you are called to open up your house and invite people in. You're called to gather together with people to worship and to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, regardless of your origin. There's no longer Jew or Greek. There's no longer barbarian or Scythian, slave or free. There's only believers in Jesus Christ. And Paul lays that out, because he wants us to see that that's one of the desires of his heart, And that's the desires that have motivated him, and that is behind his calling as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, to take the truth of Jesus to all who have not heard. And that's why he has not yet been able to come to Rome. He says that in verse 22. This is the reason why I've so often been hindered. Because he wants to take the message of the gospel to those who don't know it, so that people will be able to share the blessings of Jesus Christ. And because he's been doing that, he hasn't been able to come to Rome. He tells us it's been years, at the end of verse 23, for many years I've longed to come to you, but I haven't been able to. He's been busy planting churches all around Asia Minor, in Macedonia, in Achaia, and other places. He's gone where he's been called and where he was needed to do the work of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's his responsibility and calling as an apostle of Christ. And that responsibility has hindered him from being able to simply pick up and travel to Rome like he wants to do. Remember all the way back at chapter 1, verse 1, he introduces himself not just as Paul, an apostle of Jesus, but as a servant of Jesus Christ as well. And so he goes like a good servant where he's told to go. He's not giving God orders. God gives him orders. That's how the relationship works. And so it doesn't matter that he may have wanted to go to Rome for years and years and years. He's gone where he's been told. But he wants to go this direction, and God says, no, wait, I want you to go to Macedonia. He says, okay, Macedonia it is. And he goes. And in fact, we're told he's not even currently on his way to Rome. He's sending this letter, but he's going in the wrong direction. He's about to go to Jerusalem. Getting further away from Rome. Why is he doing that? Because the brothers and sisters in Christ have need there in Jerusalem. And the people of Macedonia and Achaia said, Paul, take this. Help them out. Go distribute this money so that the people who are suffering won't suffer anymore. And so he's going back to Jerusalem, continuing to serve the Lord Jesus Christ there. He's going to deliver the collection from all the saints and on their behalf. And his desire to visit Rome put off even further. His desire to plant more churches in Spain has to wait. Paul has plans. And he lays out his plan here. He has a plan to go visit Rome and stay there for a while and then go on to Spain. That's the plan. First, he's going to drop off the money and do some ministry in Judea and Jerusalem while he gets ready for his mission trip to Spain. But he does want us to make sure that we understand that when he comes to Rome, it'll ultimately be, as we're told in verse 32, so that by God's will I may come to you. That's why he's asking for their prayers. So that everybody will know when Paul arrives in Rome, it's because God wills him to be in Rome. Not because he just picked up, packed up, and went. Not because he's on vacation or taking a break. But he's there because he's following the call of God. And it's brought him to Rome. And hopefully will take him to Spain. His prayer here in verse 30, he's asking them to appeal, to pray to the Lord with them. Strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. That's his prayer. But the Lord has his own plans. If you're familiar with the book of Acts, Paul's plan doesn't exactly work. His prayer here is to be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea. But in Acts chapter 21, we see as he makes a vow, he's finishing up his 7 days, and he's going back to the temple to pay what he owes and the vow. Crowd gathers. Makes up lies and accuses Paul of horrible things about teaching against the temple, about teaching against God's law, about even bringing a Greek into the temple, which he didn't do. and the crowd gets into a frenzy, begins to severely beat Paul, and he's ultimately arrested. How can we square Acts 21 with this prayer to be delivered from the unbelievers, since he very much appeared to be delivered into their hands? Has God not heard the prayers of the people in Rome and of Paul? Has God failed? Well, we can't see it as he is delivered because the Jewish plans don't come to complete fruition. Paul was actually about to be beat to death when the Romans come in and arrest him, saving his life. And then again in Acts chapter 23, relates to us the story of 40 more Jews who took an oath to neither eat nor drink again until after they had killed Paul. But news of the plan was revealed by Paul's nephew to the Romans, and they increased the guard to escort Paul to see Felix, surrounding him with soldiers to protect him from the murderous plot. In this way, the Lord did deliver him from the hands of the unbelievers. Acts 1:3 can be seen as a direct answer to the prayer of Paul and to the church of Rome, this being requested right here in chapter 15. For he is surely delivered from the plot and from death at the hands of the Jews. But we also need to see that the Lord often answers things differently than we expect. Paul has prayed to go to Rome. For years he has desired and been praying to go to Rome. Here he's asking the church in Rome that he would make it to Rome, and Paul will make it to Rome. Not the way that he planned. But he does get to go. He will appeal from Felix, use his right as a Roman citizen to have a trial in Rome itself. And thus he will be sent to Rome in chains. But he does make it. His prayer is answered. And in fact, while Paul's there waiting his trial, he writes several books of the Bible while he's in captivity in Rome. And he's able to write to the church and encourage them while he's in chains for the gospel. God answers Paul's prayer, gets him to Rome, but does so in a way that fits with God's plan to bring the most glory to His name. The all-wise God knows better than we. And Paul shows us in verse 32, he's willing to submit to it, that it's God's will, that it'll be God's will that I come to you. And God's will was that he came to them in chains. And when we read those prison epistles of Paul, he doesn't complain. He doesn't say, this is not the plan. He doesn't say, this shouldn't have happened. No, he says, I'm here because of Christ. And he encourages the believers. Which leaves us with that truth that we need to realize that God often answers prayer in His own way. How often do we ask God for something? But what we really mean is, I want this thing, and I want it step one, step two, step three, step four. Follow my will, God. But the Lord often has His own plans. He says, no, I know a better way. The all-wise God has a way to answer your prayer. And we have to trust and accept it. To be able to say, not my will, but thy will be done. Which is perhaps the hardest prayer we could ever pray. To say, I will willingly submit my will and my plans to whatever yours happen to be. Because sometimes God's will is that we're in chains. Sometimes God's will is we go in a roundabout way. Sometimes God's will is we may have to wait years. Sometimes God's will, we may not even understand. But we are called to submit our desires beneath the desires and plans of God. And when we do so, that means we won't complain, we won't gainsay, we won't backtalk. But rather, we will simply do as we are called to do. We also see here in this section, the end of 15, Paul reminding us that we have a unity in Christ Jesus, therefore we should live it out. Live it out by praying for one another. Live it out by helping each other. Live it out by praying for our brothers and sisters in other places like the Pearl of the Orient Covenant Reformed Churches. Knowing that you're unified with people just because you can't see them doesn't mean you don't share the same Savior, the same Spirit, and aren't part of the same body of Christ. Pray for your brothers and sisters around the world. Understand that we share the same blessings. We share the same Savior. We share the same faith. We also see here Paul reminding us that we ought to pray for the ministry of the church. Where he says, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. This is Paul the Apostle saying, pray for me, that my ministry would be acceptable. If Paul himself wants us to pray for it, how much more should we pray for the church? Pray for our elders and deacons, and even your pastors. To pray that the church would be used by the Lord Jesus Christ to further His kingdom. That our service would be acceptable in the sight of God and to His people. Pray for the church. Pray for all the ministries of the church. The children's ministry, the Sunday school ministry, women's fellowship, all of them. So that the people who are there might be strengthened, so that you might be unified with them. That even though you might not have any children in Kids Quest, you can show your unity with them by saying, Lord, bless the work that the children will be taught and that they'll grow in the name of Jesus. Pray for the church. Strive together in prayer. Let us go now before the throne of grace. Gracious Lord in heaven, we thank you and we praise you for the wondrous gift of your Son. Because we realize that in him we do share blessings, Lord. That he has defeated death and led captivity captive and has now showered us with his gifts. Shower us with blessings. And so help us, Lord. Help us live in the understanding we are all servants of Jesus. I just pray for the church. Make us people of prayer. Praying for one another. And Lord, make us understand. Help us be able to pray, not my will, but thy will be done. Remove from us the heart of complaining and the heart of pride. We want your name to be glorified. Even if that means that our plans wait for years, Lord. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.